The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at weightwatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the Maroon Friday edition of The Yard. It's been a busy couple days. Has been. We had the birthday on Wednesday. And then, let me think here for a second. We had dinner Tuesday night, and then the birthday was Wednesday. And we went to the movies, went and saw Horizon, the first of, the first three-hour installment of a 12-hour epic. Yeah, it's pretty good. Takes a little while for the story to kind of get going, but, it's interesting. It is. And then we had the fourth yesterday, which is a work day for us. Tried to lay back a little bit. And then today, it's been a busy day, doing some book stuff and trying to get some things lined up for all that. And so now here we are. And now it's a weekend. But when you work every day, they're really in the weekend. Really, the only difference is that I go 2 days between recording. That's really the only difference. When you work every day is the same. It's true. The difference is that there's typically not a lot of news that breaks on weekends out of season. Typically. It's still a dead period for college football. Guys will be back, and we're going to talk some football recruiting today. We'll do some baseball recruiting, and had some good developments last couple days, as you guys are well aware of. If you're members over at Jeans Page, remind you that you can get your first month for just $1. $1. Yeah. And that's 30 days from the day you subscribe, not the first day of the promotion. So 30 days for $1. And that'll probably get you right into fall football camp. We say fall football camp. It's just preseason camp because it's not fall until sometime in September. But, we'll be in preseason camp. Looking forward to that. We'll also have the big recruiting event. We'll have a little cookout. I don't know if we're going to be able to attend or not. I would lean towards no. I would lean towards no. It's not a camp, And so typically the way that thing works is like if they're a guest of the university, we can interview them after they've been released. Official visits are a little bit different, But you get them when their visit is over. But it's a little different. So I don't know if we'll be able to have in-person coverage of that. We'll get some clarity between now and then. But they'll have the big cookout. Bring a lot of guys to campus, priority targets in the 2025 class and the 2026 class, and we'll do our best to provide you with the latest and greatest on all of those folks, too, for sure. But, thanks so much for all of you that reached out to offer me the happy birthday moments. It's like a job on Facebook. It is. I'm not complaining. I'm not. Please don't misunderstand me. But, it's so funny. I do my best. I read every one of those. Every one of them, a lot of them are the same, because Facebook makes it so easy for you to just pull up and it just kind of auto-populates some options for you. But some people write some personal notes, including my father-in-law who called me Timmy. He has a nephew named Timmy. We look nothing alike. He said, "Happy birthday, Timmy." His name is Jerry, so I responded, "Thanks, Johnny." He hasn't responded yet. Dana's oldest sister, Sandy, responded. She's like, "I'm tripping on this that he doesn't even realize." And it's fine. I mean, I love my father-in-law. I really do. But nevertheless, thanks so much for that. And there's so much of that. I think a couple years ago, I'm not going to say who because it may embarrass them. And they're very, very sensitive. They're very sensitive. But you know how it is. Like you get hundreds of those messages, right? I mean, you do. And you want to go through and like them all to acknowledge and let people know that you saw their message and basically thank them for their birthday greeting. And it's so interesting, too, because it's really kind of an anthology of your life, right? I mean, it really is. I mean, I enjoy going and scrolling through those messages because, you'll have high school teammates. You'll have, maybe a girl that you had a crush on years ago when you were a teenager. Maybe she's wishing you a happy birthday. 17-year-old, you would be very pleased by that. And there's former players and coaches and things like that. And it's cool. It's like, you go through there and it's pretty nice, But a couple years ago, I missed liking one of those messages. I missed. And I got a message. And this isn't somebody that knows me well either, right? It'd be, if it was one of my boys back home kind of giving me grief, you kind of get it. But it was just some, somebody I know from the Mississippi State family, and they goes, "Hey, you liked everybody's message, but mine, is everything okay?" And what I wanted to say was, I got all these messages out here. I might miss one or two. It's not anything personal, but I didn't. I went and found their message, and I liked them, and I messaged it back. "Hey, I'm so sorry I missed it. Thanks for remembering me on my birthday." And I truly meant that. But, you know, it's so interesting that somebody can turn your birthday into something about them, you know. But such is life these days. But listen, I hope you're well. Hope you got a good weekend ahead of you. And many of you will probably, you know, who took the day off today. Like, that was the smart person thought ahead. Like, if you're a regular, you know, Monday through Friday worker, you probably scheduled a vacation day for today, Friday, so you get the four-day weekend. And that's really, really slick, man. And congratulations to those of you that thought ahead earlier in the year and requested that day off so you could have the 4th, the 5th, the 6th, and the 7th off. And it is the 5th. So please afford me the opportunity, even though I have done so. I like to do these things on the show because sometimes people don't know who all is connected to me. Today is my sister, Tara Robertson Falls, birthday. It is. It was my 5th birthday party, and we had it a couple days late, you know, because you know how it was back in those days. You know, we didn't have the bouncy house and like the Morgan Wallen concert for our birthdays. I don't know what's changed. Number one, we were as broke as the Ten Commandments. But I was having my 5th birthday party. Had a few friends over at my grandmother's house. I lived with my grandmother, you know, at that time, and got a phone call that I had a baby sister. Turns out she wasn't the last of baby sisters, but she is my sister, and I love her dearly, and her 3 children as well, and her husband, Gordon. And so if you know them, you know they're out at Ratliff Ferry a lot, Ratliff's Ferry. I thought about running down there this weekend if ever going to be there, and I still may. You just never know what I'm going to do. But Tara is my sister, and I love her. She was one of the best, and arguably the best birthday gift I ever got, right? Yeah, 2 days after my birthday, she, and I joke with her, I said, "Yeah, you interrupted my party." You know, it's true. But yeah, love her dearly, and don't get to see her enough. And he said, "But Steve, she's just right down there in Madison," and she is. It's just tough to get together sometimes, especially with this meat grinder of a schedule I have. But the truth of the matter is, I need to make more time for family, and so once we get, I'm going to do my best to go see everybody as I bump the mic. Go see everybody here in the weeks to come before football season gets here. And I want to be available to you guys too, but I got a family that loves me too. And I need to be with them some too. And so my hope is to get down and see everybody. And trying to get everybody up here to float. Yeah. And you need to come float too. Yeah, we got some Boneyard listeners floating today. Even Roy and Missy. Roy Samanti, right? Our keeper of the list is floating for the first time this evening. How about that? Matter of fact, when I get done recording this show, I'm headed up there so I can visit with Roy and him for a little while. Yeah, right? Dial 662-268-7601 to get more information, or you can just download the True Rest app and book online. Then it can answer all your questions. And, if you got chronic anxiety or pain or stress in your life, and chances are that's all of us, right? We may be able to help you, right? And we don't just have clients. We have Raven fans. We really do. Really do. And I've told Dana before, it's like delivering flowers. Like, nobody ever leaves unhappy. I've worked in retail before. You know, sometimes, you know, you can deliver, you know, 9 rooms of furniture to a house, and all of a sudden there is a nick on the backside of a nightstand for a guest bedroom, and all of a sudden people get angry and want to send everything back. You know, I'm so glad I don't live with that stuff anymore. But, yeah, come be a part of that for sure. Probably tomorrow. That's the plan anyway. Probably on Saturday, I am going to get some Bulldog Burger Company to go so Dana and I can eat together there at the spa. I'm already thinking about that. You know, it's like I'm already thinking ahead. This is what I want to do, and I'm going to go to Bulldog Burger Company, and I start thinking, okay, how am I going to plot this thing out? What's my course here, right? I know I'm going to get the spring rolls. I know that before I even go in there because, you know, I've been working hard. I could use a little rejuvenation with my beauty regimen, as many of you could as well, kind sir and madam. But also, I start thinking, do I want the big burger, right? You know, do I want to do the Sloppy Joe sliders? That's a really generous lunch portion. I love that. But you know what? I might do it for dinner. And when I do it for dinner, you know, I like to kind of let my hair down a little bit, right? So maybe I get the smokehouse. I'm kind of leaning that way right now, the smokehouse, very hearty, tons of protein. I love it, man. Might even shake it up and get some onion rings. Yeah, might do that. But I got to get that chocolate shake to go. Got to do that. Listen, you should follow my example and dine at Bulldog Burger Company this weekend. This weekend. If you're in town, this weekend is Bulldog Burger Company weekend, right? The kids always want to go. You know it's true. You know it's true. Not to wax off here with Milli Vanilli or anything, but yeah, go have a great time there. Three great locations to serve you: University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. All right. So let's get into this. We had a commitment yesterday. And it's interesting. You know, it's like, I'm going to just kind of lay out there for you as best I can. I don't know if we have ever done as good a job recruiting the next class this early in my career. Now, I've been covering recruiting since 2004. Yeah, and there's something, we're 20 years into this thing, right? I've been writing about Mississippi State since 97, writing about recruiting since 2004. Yeah, that's true. And so I feel like that I speak as an authority here, right? We already have four commitments for the 2026 class. We're halfway done with 2025, and we already have four building blocks for 2026. The latest is quarterback Michael Johnson from Dutchtown High School in Hampton, Georgia. He was around 6 foot, got a lot of hair. I'm a fan of that. Guy runs a sub 4.4 40, and can sling it. You talk about dual threat quarterbacks, this is the dude, right? Now, we're going to have to work hard to hang on to him. I'm going to just kind of say it for what it is. But I like the fact that Jeff Labby and Matt Holchek have made such a great impression early with him. Pretty impressive, man. Truly is. And, yeah, it's pretty good stuff, man. You know, it's I start working through all this, and you go watch the film, and, man, we've already got him rated. We're a little bit behind the industry average here, though, 247, so we'll see. He'll probably be a four-star when it's all said and done. Currently at an 88 in the 247 composite, 86 with us. So we're a little bit behind. Of course, I don't know who evaluates State of Georgia, to be honest with you. I just send my stuff to the national guys, and it kind of filters down from there. But we still have one 2026 guy we got to get evaluated. That's Iverson McCoy. And they're very conservative in these early rankings, and I don't know that I always agree. But the fact of the matter is this. We have four commitments. Three of the four are ranked. I'm just happy to have some commitments, right? I mean, it's like that. How many times did we talk about 2025? It just felt like we were lagging a little bit. You know, we had some things kind of dragging along. And the next thing you know, we exploded. Now, here we are with four commitments for 2026. Now, heading into the month of June, we only had three for the 2025 class. And I think this really is kind of a sense of the fact the staff is kind of getting their feet under them a little bit. You've had a chance to kind of see guys in the spring evaluation period, see them in camp. Michael Johnson didn't camp with us, but go look at his film. This guy's explosive. I'm eager to kind of see how things develop with him. He's just a sophomore, right? He's a rising junior, so he'll be entering his junior year this year. But you begin to break this thing down in Michael Johnson. And I'll be honest with you, when the tweet went out, I thought, Are we going to take a quarterback this early? And sure enough, yes. Yes. And so double-digit offers already. Mississippi State, Cincinnati, Georgia State, Massachusetts, Purdue, Troy, UAB, UCF, USF, West Virginia. So, yeah, some Power 5 stuff already there. And, again, we're heading into the junior year. Now, you want to get your quarterback as early as possible so you can start kind of building a class around them. So that's a nice drawing card there. And what's interesting too, you know, you say, Steve, well, you know, it's early. And it is early. But quarterbacks have been committing earlier and earlier, and it's one of the things we'll talk about later in the show too, how the process continues to speed up. But you got Candy Darby from Airline High School there in Bossier City, also committed. And he was a guy too, came to camp, loved it, was ready to go. His mom was like, hey, I think you need to take a little time to see about things. He goes, nope, I want to play for Coach Bump. And so he jumps in. Jaden Hill from Tupelo and Iverson McCoy. I love Jaden Hill's game. I don't care what he's ranked. And listen, I don't need the offers to validate my opinion. After watching that kid in camp a little bit this year and then going back and pulling up his huddle video, and I've watched huddle video and all the guys we have, and Jaden Hill, I tell you who he kind of reminds me of, is a little bit like Vic Ballard. A little bit like that. You know, a north and south runner, you know, a guy that you know, can fight through arm tackles and break into the secondary. He's not going to win a ton of foot races, right? But he is a guy, too, that you start thinking about him hammering up there between the tackles and running a little bit off tackle and kind of running up the hash there. And you start thinking about, hey, this is a guy with really, really kind of a one-cut runner in many respects. And I can't wait to get out there and see him this fall. But watching him in camp, I thought he was actually a little more athletic than I anticipated. Well, can kind of flare out there in the flats and catch a pass and tuck it away and get upfield rather smoothly. There are a lot of people that struggle turning the route running concept into just a running concept, right? So he does a good job of making himself a ball carrier after being an eligible receiver. So he's not just, you know, one trick pony. You know, obviously we're going to flare it out to him some too, but when you look at him, when you see him, you know, you're going to think, yeah, this is what an SEC running back should look like. And you need some complimentary guys too, right? I mean, we've got some guys that are fleet of foot, some guys are pretty explosive, but you need a guy sometimes too. When it's third and two and we're trying to salt the game away, you need a guy that can go out there and get you those 3-4 yards. You know, we had that with Woody Marks, you know, more times than not. You need that guy that can move the pile. You know, we've had some good running backs over the years at Mississippi State. I think Jaden Hill is going to be a guy that we talk about in the years to come, provided he stays healthy and work hard, right? Iverson, I had a chance to watch him, and I get it. Like, when you think about how long and lean he is already, and again, he just finished up his sophomore year of school. This is a guy now that knows where he wants to go. He'll have an opportunity to do some big things. And I'm eager to see. I'm eager to see what he looks like this fall. And we'll get out there and watch those guys pretty early. It's weird to think about this. Man, we're going to be playing high school football here in about, what, 7 weeks? Man, I remember, speaking of that, I remember going to the Red Carpet Bowl. You know, they kick that off every year in Vicksburg. 1 year it's at Vicksburg High School, the next year it's at Warren Central, and it's a doubleheader, right? And so sometimes I could go see South Panola and Clarksdale play. And so you get a doubleheader of football. And so for a person like me, that was very important. You get a ton of film, a chance to evaluate players, get some pictures, and you kind of maximize your opportunity because they always did a good job kind of bringing in quality teams, teams that were going to compete for something. But, man, it was unbelievably hot. And you guys sit out there for 2 games. And I'd always just find a way to, as soon as I left there, I'd bring an extra shirt, right? So as soon as you get in the car, you can change into a dry shirt and head to a local gas station and get a Gatorade. Yeah. But it's kind of, listen, these Mississippi summers, man, they're not the best. They're not the best. It depends on what you like, I guess. But I see these posts on Facebook all the time. I said, hey, all of you people that said, hey, 102 is better than 32. Get out here and shine. This is your moment. I feel that way, too. And my whole philosophy about that is this. If it's cold, I can always put another layer of clothing on. I could put another blanket on the bed or another log on the fire. But when you're hot, you're just hot. Not that I'm against summertime. Love summertime. I love fall the most. But it's tough. You know, we have these mandatory water breaks, and we should, right? We should. But, yeah, it's tough. But, yeah, we'll be out there in high school football really soon. Probably wait a week or two to go see Tupelo, kind of let them, you know, kind of get into their midseason form. But, you know, it's just an hour away. I could always go twice, right? But looking forward to kind of going out and seeing some guys. That was one of the things I kind of prided myself on last year was those kids over from Alabama. And I went and saw them all. You know, I like to get out and go, you know, it's one thing. You have so much going on in life, but those out-of-state kids are so appreciative that we make the effort. But probably need to run down to Louisiana at some point, go see Frizzell Shepherd play. That's one thing about Baton Rouge, too. They show a lot of football fields, so they sometimes play on Thursdays. So we could maybe see Shep on Thursday and then swing over to New Iberia and see Diamond Jackson over at Westgate High School. That's the plan anyway. We'll have to look at the schedule and kind of see how things shake loose, and then I'll head up to Bartlett, Tennessee. I know at least one Friday night to watch Austin Howard and Jaron Johnson. I already kind of got that set up with the coach. I don't think we'll make it down to Florida, but I could always head down to Gulf Shores and go see our friend Mark Hudspeth, right? I could always do that, you know, but yeah, I like the fact that we got some guys kind of scattered out this year and, you know, not too far away, but we can. It's reasonable for us to think, you know, you start breaking this thing down, man, you got kids from all over. You know, we talked about recruiting within the normal footprint, and we have got five guys from Mississippi for this class, three from Alabama, two from Florida, two from Georgia, two from Louisiana, two in Tennessee, one in California. So, pretty cool stuff. Right? And we'll use our network resources to try to get updated video and film of everybody and pictures. But I like to do it in person. And so we'll sit down and schedule it out here and kind of see who's playing who. You know, the good thing is I can go see Kamario Taylor pretty much whenever I want to, but I want to get down and see those guys in Louisiana and Alabama for sure. And you ever Googled yourself? You may be alarmed to know exactly how much of your private information and data is out there for anybody to access. Whether it be your phone number, your home address, or details about your family, it could be your kids' names, their ages. Whether you agree to this disclosure or not, and that's because data brokers are collecting and selling your information to marketers, scammers, and basically anyone willing to pay. It's the reason robocallers know your name, and while ads seem to follow you on every digital platform out there. Well, Aura fights back for you. They remove your personal data from broker sites and keep it off. Aura also alerts you fast if your information shows up in a data breach or on the dark web. But Aura is more than just data broker removal. It's a full digital security suite that protects every part of your life online. Aura gives you a VPN to stay private, antivirus to block threats, a password manager to keep all your logins safe, and they even give you spam call protection to cut off those stupid scammers. Aura also scans the dark web regularly for your most sensitive information, like your social security number, bank logins, passwords, and they will notify you instantly if you are somehow exposed. If your identity is ever stolen, you're backed up by up to $5 million in insurance and 24/7 U.S.-based fraud support to help you recover everything quickly. Other services charge about the same, but they only cover one or two areas. With Aura, you get it all. Data broker removal, credit and identity monitoring, device protection, and fraud support, all with one simple app. Aura removes what is already exposed, protects what isn't, and puts you back in control. Right now, you can try Aura free for 14 days when you visit aura.com/remove. That gives them plenty of time to go ahead and start protecting your data. They can remove your personal information from data broker sites. Sign up today at aura.com/remove and get the peace of mind that your privacy, identity, and finances are all safeguarded. That's Aura, aura.com/remove. Certain terms and conditions apply. Be sure and check it out today at aura.com. The deal. But I like where we are. And with all these commitments as of late around the country, you know, we have dropped out of the top 30. That's one thing that we had talked about is that we've got to continue to work hard to stay in the 20s. And we do. We absolutely do. And one of the things that I mentioned to you guys, too, that you've got to, there's always going to be some ebb and flow with the composite as other networks rank players. And I kind of watch that too. And one of the reasons that I do is to kind of save myself a little bit of research later. But once a week, I go check and see you know, kind of how the rankings look. And I have not looked in the last couple of days, but I did post this over on the jeanspage.com forum. A lot of people don't understand how the composite really works. And so anytime that somebody brings it up, I do my best to kind of explain how these things work out. But so the composite basically is a composite based on all four of the major networks that rank recruits. And so it's not just 247. Now, one of the criticisms, I guess, that I have shared of 247, I said, hey, if we're going to put our name on it, then we got to understand that other people can make rankings that negatively impact the composite, and people don't ever know who that is. You know, like last year, Michael Van Buren commits to Mississippi State, and then immediately on another network drops considerably. That's happened to a few players. And 247 gets blamed for it, and that's not to say that they're perfect. I argue with these guys all the time. But the thing about it is they got to beat me in the argument. And so I'm very detailed in what I do. And about 2 years ago, and then again last year, I sent an email kind of detailing everything out, you know, about what I saw and how I saw it. And of course, I was a little more prepared for the discussion, right? And it made its way around, not just through the 247 sports hierarchy, but it made it all the way to CBS. And people got involved and they got back with me and say, hey, you know, what do you give me your thoughts on this? What can we do to kind of work together here? And I'll tell you, the guys have been great. That's not to say that I've agreed with everything. You know, when Jaden Hill got his initial ranking, I probably hurt some feelings. But all that I understood, I think we have probably at 247 probably have a better communicative process between our site and the evaluators than we have ever had. And that's on them. That's got nothing to do with us because we've always kind of chirped. But I think they've made some progress in that respect. And I respect them for that. But this thing that I brought up the other day, because the composite's going to change as other people begin to evaluate. Now, with three of the four networks pretty much and have all the guys rated, you're not going to see a big dip, I think, in the composite. But it's important to note. So 247 has all 17 of our commitments for the 2025 class rated, and three of our four for 2026. And I'll be on the one we're missing soon. We have four four-stars, according to 247 Sports. Verzell Shepard, Kamario Taylor, Mario Nash, and Tashaun Willis. Rivals still has Jack Richardson, the punter, on our commitment list. And I don't know why that's difficult to fix, but and they haven't rated LaKendrick James. They have rated everybody else, though, so I give them credit for that. They have three four-stars for us. That's Kamario Taylor, Jaron, and then Mario Nash. ESPN, and a lot of people have said, well, ESPN needs to be removed from the composite. I have made that argument before myself because they just don't want to get the Mississippi to see kids. And they don't have a presence here, right? They just don't. And for that matter, really, Rivals doesn't either. But ESPN, you know, they get so much credit because they're the, quote, worldwide leader. And they historically have not done a good job on recruiting, despite what they, you know, they'll say, hey, our rankings are the best because we told you they're the best. But to give them some credit, they've only not rated two of our players, LaKendrick James and Kevontae Henry. And both of those guys are from the junior college ranks. So what I can assume here is whoever the prep evaluator is has gotten right on this, and the JUCO rankings hadn't been done yet. That's just me making an assumption. And again, Jack Richardson remains on their commitment list. But they have us with four four-stars. Again, Verzell Shepard, Mario Nash, Kamario Taylor, and Tashaun Willis. So they gave us four there. On three, and this is where we got the most work to do, they haven't rated Christopher Johnson, Sekou Smith, Davion Jackson, Darion Horsley, Laquavion Jackson, LaKendrick James, and Kevontae Henry. So that's seven guys that are not ranked. They have us with one four-star, and that's Kamario Taylor. And how Mario Nash isn't a four-star, I don't get it. He is with everybody else. You know, it is with everybody, every other network, but he's not there. And so once those players get ranked and evaluated, and they will, okay, they've just been a little bit late doing it, but they'll get it done, you're going to see some changes in the composite. And maybe we get favorable rankings and it'll bump us up a little bit. But if we, chances are, when it's all said and done, it's going to be a little bit higher here, a little bit lower there. We'll have a pretty good consensus of what these guys look like. And so I just share that to kind of get ahead of the conversation, because that's what happens. All of a sudden, I'll just be working on something and be happy, and all of a sudden my phone starts blowing up, and it's like, hey, 247 took our four-star away. And then I go back and look, and it had nothing to do with us. It was like ESPN, you know, put a kid in with an arbitrary rating or whatever that didn't have a lot of factual evidence behind it to support their ranking, and all of a sudden it pulls the 247 Sports composite down. It's got nothing to do with what 247 did, but because another network gave an unfavorable rating, it changes that. And that's one of the reasons you see the 247 commitment list now kind of defaulting to the 247 rankings. We need to promote our own rankings, not everybody else's. Trust your own evaluation. I'm a big proponent of that. So again, great job getting out of the gate for 2026, and I do think we're on the right kids, 2025. You know, we've had a few changes here. We were expecting maybe an interesting week. You know, thought that Cortez Thomas is going to commit to us. We actually, I found out about it and I alerted David Johnson. So I'm not going to take credit for breaking the story. I wanted to assist my colleague and give him the chance in a very competitive environment to break the story himself. And so I went to the message board and said, hey, I don't think it's going to be us. I knew it wasn't going to be us, but I wasn't going to rob the young man of his moment. I could have gone and changed my crystal ball pick, but my ego is not invested in that. I do the best I can, but I'm not going to go steal a young man's moment by flipping my crystal ball pick at the last minute, even when I know better. I just go to the message board and tell my people, hey, it's not going to be us. Period. And so it sparked some interesting discussion, and that's just kind of part of life. But I'm going to try to do things with integrity as best I can. And if that means that I got to take a bath on a crystal ball pick, then so be it. I'm not going to rob that young man of his moment. There are a lot of people out there that will. Oh, trust me, they will. And I just believe you finally get that stuff back. A lot of people out there that will tell you, hey, we're going to let a kid have his moment and then immediately go put things out, you know. Anyway, I could talk about that all day, but I'm not going to. But and then Kyle Johnson, corner out of Bunky, has elected to wait and commit. And that's probably a good thing, too. We don't want a decommitment. You know, it's part of the process. But he visited Mississippi State. It appeared he was kind of leaning our way. Some people even projected that he committed on his visit, and I can tell you that's not correct. He was going to visit Houston no matter what happened at Mississippi State, and he comes home. Now he's kind of figuring some things out. I think it's a good thing. I'm not saying he ultimately picks Mississippi State, but I think it's a good thing because Houston was a huge leader heading into the visit at Mississippi State. And so now he's kind of confused. Confusion is a great thing when you are the team that's trying to catch up, right? You say, but Steve, it's Houston. Well, we just kind of got involved with him, you know. Houston's been on him for a long time, and so now all of a sudden, yeah, I think maybe an early decision doesn't favor us, to be honest with you. And then we'll see what Jalen Morgan's going to do on Monday. You know, I think it's going to be Georgia, but I'm not going to rule out Mississippi State here. I'm going to work the phones this weekend a little bit, see if we can't find some information. But that looks to be Georgia or Florida. But again, I'm kind of leaning Georgia right now. So we entered a week that maybe we think, hey, within week 10 days, we could have three more commitments. And now you look at it, there's a possibility we don't have any new commitments. And it's part of the deal, man. A lot of people, you know, it's never all going to roll downhill for us. Sometimes you got to stop, you got to reevaluate and pivot. It's just how life works. But really, again, really good start to 25, and I think a great start to 2026. All right, time for today's top 10 list. As always, brought to you by closewithblair.com. That's C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R.com. Blair is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. There's so many things in life you can do to kind of mess life up. I mean, honestly, there are a lot of decisions, adult decisions that you can make that can kind of change the course of things. And getting into a bad mortgage is one of them. It's true. You can get with the wrong loan officer or the wrong lending group and get yourself into a deal where you're paying more than you should. Let Blair Chandler help you navigate through all that stuff. 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. 23 years of experience. Nobody stays in a meat grinder of an industry like that for 20 plus years without being a closer. Coffee's for closers. Blair gets you through an IV. Thus, the name Close with Blair. Follow him on social media. You'll be glad you did. Whether you're looking for a game day condo, again, which may prove to be more affordable than you think, could be your future retirement home. You could come up here and be my neighbor. I mean, it would take some effort because I'm out here in the sticks. But understand that that may be an option for you, and maybe you just need somebody in the family to say, you know what, let's look into this. Let's at least try. And if you're looking for your first home, or maybe it's a second home, maybe it's a life reset for you. I don't know what's happening in your life, but remove some stress and anxiety from things by working with Blair. One less thing to worry about. You can just kind of give all your documents to him and let him go to work. And then he'll let you know when it's time to close. If he needs some other information for you, he gets it. But the reality of it is you need to deal with a professional. That's exactly what you get with Blair Chandler at closewithblair.com. Okay. One of my favorite modern rock bands released a new single about a week ago. And they have had a couple of singles that that have prompted me to kind of revisit our list. Now, this band was originally born out of the band Slaves. We've done a top 10 for them. I love the band Slaves. They are no more. And the Slaves were basically built around the phrase that they're, you know, slaves to addiction. They're in the guys in recovery. And they elected to change the name when they got a new singer, which was great. Great. It's now Rain City Drive. And so, basically, Matt McAndrew, if you watch The Voice, he was the runner-up a couple years back. He fronts this band. And one of the things I like about it, there's still some element of the Slaves material. Like, there's still some of that R&B feel in addition to it being a rock and roll band. But in addition to that, too, I think they're a little more of a serious band, right? Like the old days, Slaves was like, you know, we are so Michelle Branch and My Soul is Empty and Filled with White Girls. There's a lot of silliness with some of that. I liked it, but I like the new stuff more. And so we're going to update our top 10 list from the Rain City Drive. And again, if you're fans of The Voice, you probably know Matt McAndrew, and you probably wondered what happened to him. Now you know. So here are my top 10 Rain City Drive songs. And there's a couple new ones on here. Probably changed a couple things too. Number 10, a collaboration with a new rising alternative rock band, Dayseeker. It's a track called Medicate Me. I do like it. I like the duality of the vocals on this. I think you'll dig it if you know Dayseeker and you know what they've done here. They're a band that's got some potential too. In my estimation, their development, they're a little bit behind Rain City Drive, as you'd expect. Kind of newbies on the block. But I dig the track, Medicate Me, number 10. Number 9, it doesn't matter which version Roy uses here. I think you're going to like this one. It was released as just a single. It has been reimagined. They've done it acoustically. They've done the straight-ahead rock and roll version. Great track called Frozen. You know, it's about being in that relationship. But, you know, things just kind of, you know. Not exactly sure where we're going here. Just kind of stuck in place. Great track. Number 8, if you like love songs, and I do, and I like sad love songs, but this is not one of them. This is an amazing love song. So even if you don't like the rest of this catalog, I think everybody will dig this one. Whether you're a country fan, an R&B fan, a rock fan, top 40 fan, it didn't make any difference. I think this song, if you're a person that's in love, you'll love this song. It's Footprints. Amazing song. The vocal on it is just so incredible. It's so incredibly well performed. The composition of the song is just incredible. And I think you'll dig it. It's number 8 for me. It is a deeper cut off the Better Days album. But super, 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 super good. Number 7, Cutting It Close. I believe that was the lead single off the self-titled album. I believe that's correct. Like this one a lot too. It's a little more upbeat, up-tempo. It's a traditional rock song. I think you're going to like this one an awful lot. Number 6, Now, I would recommend listening to, this is actually the first real song on To Better Days. And To Better Days is like an intro into the song Prayers, which is on our list here. It's kind of got a little bit of a dance element to it too. I like the electronic in it a little bit, but I like the fact that it sounds to me like they sampled a voice and then used that as one of the tones for the keys. That's to me. It sounds like the old days when we used to sample stuff. Well, the old Prophet 2000 back in the early 90s. And like you just record somebody singing, holding a note, and then you upload that to your instrument, and then you play that as the voice. The great track called Prayers. Love it, love it, love it. Number five, and this is a relatively newer track. It was on Sirius XM Octane for a while, so you probably know this one. Of course, this was Off the Rain City Drive, self-titled album. Dig this one a lot too. It's maybe I'm wrong about that. It's Waiting on You. Yeah, it was the first track on that album. Waiting on You, and I like the vocal in this too. It's kind of got some. I don't know if I could even say it this way, but it may be a little Journey in the composition. It's difficult to kind of pull that out, but like kind of there's some staccato. And there's some things vocally in the cadence that make me kind of reminiscent of some early Journey stuff. But it didn't sound like Journey, like the instrumentation doesn't. All right, number four, and this song came out about a week ago. I love this song. I posted it on Facebook earlier. Reminds me of my dad. Lost my dad when he was 57 years of age. And it's tough, man. It is. And this song, there's a line in here, there's some lyrics that really, really, really pulled that emotion out of me. And it doesn't matter if it's your dad, your mom, somebody that you've lost. And it may not even be somebody that you lose eternally. It could just be somebody that's no longer in your life. And the song is it's called Never Bloom. And what it means is, what it talks about is that, it's like, I hope I made you proud, even though you never got to see my flowers bloom. It's great. It really is. It's super, super, super introspective song. It is up-tempo. It's not necessarily a ballad, but the vocal arrangement in the verses, I think, is really, really good. I think you're going to dig it. And again, there's some songs out there that just kind of put a hook in you, right? This is one of those ones for me. And I said, I got to talk about this song. Absolutely love it. And there's a lot of things in there you can kind of get the sense. I don't know who wrote the song, but you can tell that somebody experienced a very important loss in their life, and they have now gone on to some level of acclaim, and they're wishing that person was alive or involved or around to enjoy that success. And so many of us probably feel that way, whether it be a grandparent or a parent or whoever. There's always somebody around that you know how it is. Mississippi State wins a big ball game, and you grab the phone to call them, and all of a sudden you realize you can't. You know, that's tough. Or your kids do something, or something great happens in your life. You get a good grade, you get a raise, you get a promotion, and there's some people in your lives you wish you could communicate with. And as sad as it is never to have a chance to speak to, a parent or relative that's going on, one of the most tough things in life to deal with is when somebody's still living. It's like instinctively you think, I know who would enjoy this. It's so-and-so. And then for one reason or another, they're not in your life anymore. It's tough. It really is. So I can see both apply. Number three, the first single with the new singer, the very first time I heard it, I'm like, who are these guys? Right? And at the time, they were still operating under the Slaves moniker. End up changing the name, and you probably should, right? Because that's some business stuff, too, with their old singer that kind of maybe tarnished the name a little bit. But a great track called Heavier. And again, it's about me, right? It's about thinking about life being a little more difficult. You kind of bring in some of your own problems into your own life, And it's a great track. Number two, and I actually have some lyrics from this song tattooed on my chest. True story. and kind of became Dana and I's anthem in those final few months when she was finishing up out of New Mexico. And it's a great track called Blood Runs Cold. And I absolutely love this track. And every time I put it on, of course, she's the one that brought it up. And so it's so interesting. There have been two tracks in my lifetime that my wife has said, hey, this song reminds me of us. The first one was Papa Roach's Gravity with Maria Brink from In This Moment. And the next day I went out and got Gravity tattooed on my wrist. And as I've shared with you guys before, she has it on her ankle. So if, like, if you link them up, it's like I'm holding her down. That's one of the things that she mentioned one night. We were shooting pool at Hobie's. She goes, you know, babe, you're like my gravity. When I get ready to float away, you keep me grounded. Very next day, I go out and get it. She has the exact same tattoo on her ankle. And so you kind of get it. So if you ever see me and you see that gravity tattoo, you know, you know what it's about. But Blood Runs Cold was the second one. She goes, every time I hear this, I think of us. And I was like, are you sure? Yeah, yeah. And so I went to surprise her, got it done. She was in New Mexico. I was in Starkville. And she actually called me and said, hey, are you shaving? I was like, no, I'm not shaving. So I FaceTimed to let her see. And immediately her face lit up. And she goes, ah, I know what that is. So even when our blood runs cold, you know. Number one, though, and this is one of those songs I think is probably one of the most important songs in the catalog. And some of it is based on, you know, the philosophies of recovery. But I think everybody in the world probably at some point has felt this way. And it's a song called Talk to a Friend. And the chorus is, I wouldn't talk to a friend the way I talk to myself. The voice in my head really needs some help. And a lot of it is just about self-language. You know, and there are a lot of people out there that could benefit from having a serious one-on-one conversation with themselves and kind of begin to get some self-awareness. But it's so much of that, too, is so damaging, right? We tell ourselves all these things. You know, I got people in my life. I mean, I'm guilty of that sometimes, too. It's like if you speak it, sometimes you begin to believe it, even if it's just internally. It's like, I'm never going to get out of this. And you know what? Chances are you're not, if you believe that. I've always been the kind of person, and maybe it's because I am somewhat of an optimist in life. I have always believed I will find a way to get out of this. I will find a way to make this work. I'll figure it out. I'm not going to die here, right? That's the way that I've always felt. I will find a way. God will provide a path. And I will find it and I will follow it with all that I have and we'll get out of this. That's how I feel. There are other people in my life, especially dealing with people in recovery, they're like, it's just too hard for me. I just can't do it. Well, you're already defeated. It wasn't too hard for me. I'm not special, right? And it doesn't just equate to substance abuse. It's everything in life. You know, there are a lot of people that are scared to try. And I don't want you to be one of those people, you know. And, you know, listen, you know, the new book, the dude's going to be nominated for some awards, man. And you know what? I'm going to try to speak that stuff into existence. You know what I mean? It's like, you know what? Hey, I think this book is deserving. I don't know if we win, but if we get nominated for that stuff, I'm going to be very, very grateful because I believe in the work. I believe in myself. I believe in the research and the time and effort that I put into this thing. And I think it's great. I think it's the best thing I've ever written. So I'm not going to sit around here and just kind of hope that it does well. It's already doing well, even in pre-orders. But I began to think about the historical nature of this book and the unique nature of this book and the fact that there has never been a book written about Duty Noble. And I think it's going to be very significant for people. As I've said with you guys before, I think this is the legacy book. I may write some other ones that I feel just as much pride in. But I think this is different than all the rest because, number one, I've become a better researcher. But also, two, I've had to kind of recreate some things that we haven't talked about in over 100 years. We had to deal with some very difficult topics. We had talked about World War I, the Great Depression, World War II, the Civil Rights Movement, and Mississippi State's place within that. And so I've written some things that are going to make some people uncomfortable, but it's also going to make a lot of people proud. And so I share all of that with you in hopes of being some sort of inspiration. You know, as I've shared with you guys before, like if I found out that I was going to have to be the president of the United States, which would be difficult to do because I'm never going to get my hair cut. But nevertheless, I think in about a month, I'd probably have a pretty good handle on what I need to do. Because I believe in myself. I do. And some people would say, oh, you know, it's just so narcissistic. No, it's not. No, it's not. You're just a fatalist. Person, you don't believe in yourself. You don't believe in yourself, so you wish other people didn't, so let you off the hook. I'm not going to do that. I believe in myself. And I hope that you do as well. I got a lot of people in my life that I draw strength from. I do. And I'd say one of the things, this is going to sound kind of weird and new age or whatever, and that's fine. I don't care. I'm just going to say it. You know, there's sometimes, you know, we talk about our hands being healing, right? I mean, even think about, you know, in religion, and every major religion, you know, it's like, you know, the healers went and laid hands on people. You know, there's healing power. And even if you don't believe in all that stuff, there's something about the human connection. And it's just like the other day, I went to lunch at a cafe, and I could tell that my server was stressed. I could just sense it in her countenance. And I reached my hand out, and she put her hand in mine, and I said, it's all going to be okay. It's all going to be okay. And all of a sudden, she began to smile. And I was trying to basically give her some good energy, right? Kind of replace what had been exhausted. And I think that's one of the things we have to do with each other. This lady's a stranger to me, you know? It's to help each other. You know, there's only so much energy in the world. I firmly believe that. But, you know, we can pour into other people. Because there's a lot of people, too, when I'm really down, I'm kind of depending on them to help lift me up. And so, but a lot of that begins, you know, a lot of this depression and self-doubt, a lot of that begins with that internal conversation we have with ourselves. And that's really what this song is about. Talk to a friend. I think you'll dig it. I love this band. I can't recommend them enough. But it is not for the faint of heart. I mean, it's, you know, it's modern rock, you know. It's not Buddy Holly or anything like that. I mean, it's Pat Boone. It's modern rock. So you need to understand that going in. But I would put them kind of in that whole Bad Omens type vibe, you know. Memphis May Fire. If you like those bands, I think you're going to really dig Rain City Drive. So be sure and check them out. If you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. Best way to do that is find us on social media. I'm on all forms of socials, at Scout Steve R. And then Roy, the keeper of the list, Dogmatic67, DAWGMATIC67. Also, you can find our great list on Spotify. Just subscribe. Be great. And our list will auto-populate. I have people you know, like parents of players. I've had players that have told me this. I love a top 10 list, and I love learning about new bands. I learned being reminded of old favorites and learning about new bands. And so while it may not be for you, it is still a segment of the show that a lot of people enjoy. A lot of people come to book signing and say, man, I love the top 10 list. Appreciate you doing that. So there we go. It's one of those things that's been with us now for over 4 years. We started doing this during COVID. Now here we are 4 years later. And that's a cool thing about new bands and other bands that release new materials. We can kind of go back and revise those lists. So there you go. I just called an audible today. We had something else lined up. And we decided to do this because that song's got, you know, made such an impact on me. All right. Next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Campus Bookmart's been doing it for a long, long time, and we know why. When you do good work, you get good customers. You get people that are with you for a long time. You get people that are appreciative of what you do, appreciative of what you present, appreciate the service that you provide, if I can get it out. If next time you're in town, go by and check them out. You'll be glad you did. In the event that you can't make it to town, perhaps you live out in a mission field beyond the great state of Mississippi, you can visit them on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net. Now, it's very important to support Starkville even if you can't get to Starkville. Support Starkville's businesses. It is one of your favorite places in the world, and let's keep Starkville thriving. Mississippi State merchandise, the best selection can be found at Campus Bookmart. Miss Kathy Brown does an amazing job keeping that place outfitted with, you know, knickknacks and items that you need for your home, whether it be your wardrobe, your vehicle, your RV, your fan cave, whatever. You can find it there. Save the guesswork. Don't go to Amazon. Again, support a startable business at campusbookmart.net. And by being a Loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays. That is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. Okay. Now, we are kind of keeping an eye on these recruiting visits. Like, kind of the guys that visited us, kind of where are we with them? And so there have been some commitments to other places. And so let's run this down, okay? Just because I want you to be apprised of this, because maybe you haven't paid attention. Maybe you've only been acutely aware of what's happening with Mississippi State. So we had 31 visitors during the month of June. We'll start with the first group. As you guys know, Antavius Richardson was committed to Georgia State, wanted to flip to Mississippi State. He's a guy who's still under evaluation, but he had the opportunity to go to USF. He jumped on that. A guy that we'll continue to monitor. Darian Horsley, of course, commits to Mississippi State. We covered Kyle Johnson a little bit earlier. He is still undeclared. Xavion Hardy is a young man out of East Mississippi Community College. Still think State's got a good shot with him. He is going to plan to take a late group of visits and then decide sometime close to signing day. So kind of gear up for the long haul here. After he visited us, he visited South Carolina. He remains undeclared. And then we got to run a commitments here. LaKendrick James, linebacker from Colin, out of Northside High School. We've been expecting him basically for 3 years. Laquavian Jackson, Josiah Clemens, Colin Wilson, Christopher Johnson, Sekou Smith Jr., Kevante Henry, who has recently visited Oregon State. That's something to continue to watch. Steve Miller, the jet airliner. You know, Micah Jones, of course, tight end from Madison Central. I really like his game. And he committed to Florida. Not a big surprise there. I don't know that anybody in the last month that kind of forecasted him to be a Bulldog. Had a chance to catch up with him when he and his team were here for the 707 a few weeks back. And we discussed Jalen Morgan earlier. Going to announce his decision on Monday. Could be Mississippi State. More than likely going to be Georgia. We'll see. Not ready to call it. Ladarian Clarity, that's a guy, too, that we're still on. And, of course, connected to Martin Emerson. Remains undeclared. Beginning of this process, people told me it's going to be tough to get him out of the state of Florida. I felt that Florida or Florida State would take him. Florida State brings him in on an OV. I think they're just kind of figuring this thing out right now. And so that's another option for you. Now, we brought Jermod Odoms, offensive lineman from Lamar High School there in Houston, Texas, in for a midweek visit. He jumped on SMU here recently and committed to them. He is a 6'6", 275-pound offensive tackle. I don't believe that he was asked to commit when he took his visit to Mississippi State. You say, but Steve, but why not? Well, it's because we're still chasing some other guys. I think he is a guy. I hate to call him a plan B guy, but I think there's some guys ahead of him on the board. Mason Dunn out of Tupelo has been committed to Ole Miss for some time, and this was a legitimate win for them. State very much pursued him. He did take an official visit to State and then has maintained his commitment to Ole Miss despite that visit to State. Devin Ferris, another guy that is committed to SMU from Houston, Texas. You know, so give the Mustangs some credit for doing a good job down there. And they should. It's the home state. But, you know, hey, reality of it is they're making a jump to the Power Four these days. And so they're going to have to go out there and recruit head-to-head with schools like us. But he's another guy that State did not push for his commitment on his visit. Davian Jackson, A.J. Rice, Austin Howard, all Mississippi State commitments. Of course, Howard and Jackson commit during their visits. Romando Johnson from Monarch High School, originally from up around the New Jersey area, remains committed to West Virginia. Just not a guy that at this point that has kind of figured it out. We'll see how things go. And he is a bit of a tweener, to be honest with you. He is a little bit of a tweener, so it'll be interesting to see. I think he's going to bulk up and play inside. He's listed as an edge. I think probably the closest he gets to an edge is playing a five technique, kind of like Jaden Cromedy did. Frizzell Shepard, of course, commits on his visit. Jaron Johnson does as well. Tyshawn Willis has been committed for a long time. Matter of fact, it took us longer to get him than I expected. He finally does it in the spring, but he was a guy that State was on very, very early. Mario Nash Jr., of course, no real surprise if you followed his recruitment over at jeanspage.com. Some other people out there were worried, not me. Kevin Otis, defensive lineman, 6'2", 285. He is not your, like, prototypical Power 5 guy. I mean, he's a Power 5 guy, but when you look at the offer sheet, you know, he's not a guy you look at. He's not Fletcher Cox, okay? He's not Chris Jones. That's not who he is. He may be Josh Boyd, but I don't even know if he's got the wingspan of Josh. But I like Kevin Otis's game, but this is a guy we've been expecting to commit to Mississippi State for some time. Still think that happens before the summer is out. Cortez Thomas, of course, surprised us this week. You know, we said a lot about that already, but that was the guy, too. You know, again, you know, Cortez is a guy that's got a lot of talent. The state stay on him? I don't know. I mean, will he have an opportunity later? He's already taken his official visit. So, you know, we'll see. Kamario Taylor, no question there. And then Tyler Miller, of course, committed to LSU. Ole Miss and State both still heavily in pursuit of him. If I had to call it right now, I would say he sticks with LSU. But as we get through this thing, as we get closer to December, how does he feel? He does have some people kind of in his ear that, you know, have kind of said, hey, you know, listen, you need to go out of state. You want to get to the National Football League. And I would argue, you know what, Charles Cross came from your same high school. It was a first-round draft pick. But it is what it is. And there's Tyler Lockhart. And I think this is going to happen sooner rather than later. I don't think he takes it into the season. I do think that he commits, and I think that's one of the reasons on the Ole Miss side there was some urgency with Cortez Thomas. As I said on this show just a couple days ago, anytime that there is a punch from one of the in-state schools, there is going to be a counterpunch. That's how it's always been. So stayed kind of on the month of June, and then on top of that, Ole Miss lost a handful of commitments. And they were getting absolutely crushed by their own fans. They needed something to go right, and they go out and they win a big in-state battle. And I think that they expected to have all of us waiting with bated breath, and then Cortez picks Ole Miss. And I really believe that. I think the whole thing was a little bit of a setup, and your good friend and host was able to kind of sniff that out. And so let you guys know ahead of time. So I think maybe we took a little bit of sting out of the actual announcement, but he is a very good player. And I think the folks up the road know that Tyler Lockhart, who is the highest rated defensive player in this class from Mississippi, is about to commit to Mississippi State. So you got to do something. You got to get a win somewhere. They did, tip of the cap. If I had to pick between the two, I'd take Tyler Lockhart. But I like them both. I'd love for Cortez Thomas to be in the class. He didn't lose any value in my eyes just because he committed to the other team. But, yeah, I think Lockhart is a guy that's going to make a move this month. I don't even know that it goes into August. I think this probably all happens here in the next couple of weeks. You know, you can't get him back to campus because we're dead right now. But, you know, I think you can kind of get this worked out. And that'll be another big win for Mississippi State. And so then that leaves you, okay, so what's left in state, Steve? I'm so glad you asked, right? Let's run through that. Obviously, some names out there you know, but there's not a lot left in the top 25 that in the state of Mississippi that state is really on, right? But let's run through it. Let's run through it. We'll start, maybe around 20. Yeah, we'll do 20. Okay, we'll start at 20. Matthew Parker, state not really on him. Offensive tackle from Jackson Prep, committed to Vanderbilt. Congratulations to him and his family. Kenzie West from Hartfield Academy is currently ranked 19th. That's a new entrant. I hadn't had a chance to watch him. I did watch some of that Hartfield Academy stuff earlier. They're stacked. They got some dudes. Trey Kinkle from Holly Springs. State has not offered him. It's one of those things, too, where he had every opportunity to come to town and camp and visit with the staff and never came. So it doesn't appear there's a lot of interest on his side. And the thing that when that kind of thing happens, I always feel like there's somebody involved in the process that is pushing a kid to one school or another. I may be completely wrong about it, but that's how I feel. Doesn't necessarily mean it's a member of their coaching staff. It could be somebody within the family. You just never know. Maybe there's somebody up there that wants him to go to Ole Miss. We mentioned Micah Jones earlier. And of course, Mason Dunn talked about him. London Simmons, really like him. He's ranked number 15 in the state of Mississippi. He's almost a four-star. But committed to Alabama now. And he was a guy we didn't get a lot of information on early. When his Hartfield Academy thing exploded, a lot of people were like, you know, there's this guy and that kid. London didn't have a lot of heat early. And now he's headed to Alabama. You know, so that's clearly a miss on behalf of, you know, the recruiting analyst around the country, including myself. And then his teammate, Reginald Vaughn, ranked just ahead of him. And to be honest with you, I like London more than I like Reginald Vaughn, because I think London has a true position. At 6'3", 295, he is a true three tech. When you watch him, you can see his build and see how he plays. That guy's going to be inside, going to probably do a good job. Reginald Vaughn, though, 6'2", 257, I don't know that he has the length to play on the edge. I think this is a guy that bulks up and plays on the interior. Is that at Mississippi State? Is that at Southern Miss? I can't call it right now. I know State's been on him, but he hadn't been a guy that's been kind of in the conversation much here as of late. Andrew Maddox, ranked 13th, headed to Ole Miss. No surprise there. We mentioned Cortez Thomas. And there's Anson Lewis. He was scheduled to take a visit to Mississippi State. And what's interesting with Anson did a great year last year for Columbia. Played for a state championship against Louisville. And Louisville just had more athletes on the field, and they won and deserved to win. Anson's now supposed to be going to Oak Grove. But Anson was a guy, too, that got hurt last year. And it took him a while to kind of get going. So he really hadn't worked out. Like in the spring evaluation period, he's not working out. You know, he's recovering. He's not being lazy. He's recovering. Didn't do a lot of camps this summer. Did some. Didn't do a lot. Didn't camp at Mississippi State. Had he camped at Mississippi State, I think he's probably a commitment to Mississippi State right now. I think it's one of those situations where you just want to make sure, right? You want to see him run. You want to see all that happen in person. And of course, this is a new staff that wasn't here last high school football season. And so I suspect that he is a guy that will take an in-season visit. And I think Mississippi State's in a good position there. Jacoby Hobson, love his game. He's headed to Ole Miss. And again, tip of the cap, it's good recruiting by them. They get his brother up there. Janoris, I'm told it's a walk-on situation, but either way, you know, how many times have you seen that happen? Makes it easier on the family. We talk about the T.J. Lockhart and the Tyler Lockhart connection. Same thing here. So good job by Ole Miss, and I think Jacoby's a guy that's going to have a good career. Really do. We discussed Kevin Otis, Mario Nash, Tyshawn Willis, Tyler Miller, Camario, and then Tyler Lockhart. And at number three is Deuce Knight. He's committed to Notre Dame. Had a chance to see him in camp a couple years ago. Love his game. But I'll be honest with you, I would take Camario. For what we want to do, I think Camario fits what we want to do. I would have loved to have had Deuce too, but I think he is really more of a pocket passer. I don't know that he is the running threat Camario is. Number two is Akilah Deere. Expected him to go to Alabama. And he was a guy early on that kind of surprised everybody by jumping on the Ole Miss offer. We about 2 weeks before he committed, we found out that was about what he was about to do. The same people now are telling us that he's getting ready to head to Alabama. And there's Caleb Cunningham. A lot of people now projecting him to go to Alabama. And that's the only real concern that I have is because of proximity, right? We've always felt that they would stay close to home. Well, it's not that much further to go out of Tuscaloosa, right? And so that's a concern. And I still think ultimately if Mississippi State puts a great product on the field this year offensively that Caleb is going to be here. But he has blown up. He's taken some visits, and he's just very impressionable. He's working through this process. But, yeah, I think in the end it'll boil down to Mississippi State or Alabama, and I think Mississippi State's chances weigh heavily on how well they play offensively this year. I think that's very, very important to understand. You know, so we got to go out there and put a good product on the field. And, you know, by the same token, too, we don't know what Alabama's going to look like either. Right? There's no Michael Penix on that roster. You know, Michael Penix, of course, was a Heisman finalist last year. And so we don't know what that new-look Alabama offense is going to look like. And so we've all got to prove it. And Nick Saban didn't run out of that tunnel. All due respect to Coach DeBoer, there's going to be some change. There is going to be some bumps in the road. Of course, a lot of people are pushing them to the number one recruiting class. Well, that's the case every year. Every single year. Oh, a record class. But then all of a sudden, Georgia's taking control of the SEC. Now, Georgia's right there with them in the recruiting rankings. But there are a lot of people, with influence in our industry that are very pro-Alabama. And that's not a taking thing away from Alabama, right? They're recruiting at a very high level. But there are some people within our industry that always kind of give the tip of the cap to Alabama. And in years past, it's been, well, you know, how could you ever push against Nick Saban? A guy that Nick Saban wants is probably, you know, a great player. Not always the case. You know, I remember when Callaway came out of Philadelphia and flipped over there, like, oh, well, we got to rank him. I said, do not adjust his ranking. You know, don't change it just because he's going to Alabama. And then lo and behold, he's back and ended up at Old Dominion, you know. So, you know, Nick Saban missed on some kids too. He didn't miss on many. Well, now Nick Saban's like not there. And so that's the thing that I've asked some of our people in our industry is like, I'm supposed to give Caleb DeBoer the same grace that I gave Nick Saban. I'm not willing to do that. I mean, that Alabama offer doesn't have the same value that it did when Nick Saban's there. And again, all due respect to Coach DeBoer, he hadn't proven it in this conference. He did a great job at Washington. But I'm not just going to sit back and say, well, yeah, they're the number one class because it's Alabama. I'm not going to go make the math work to support the narrative. You understand what I'm saying? So there's going to be some change. And I will not be the least bit surprised if Alabama to lose a couple games this year. Just kind of how I see it. And we're going to get into previewing those SEC teams here very soon on the show. You know, hey, we got 14 of them to talk about. As we get ready to prepare for the season, it's like you look up all of a sudden, it's like, man, it's like 8 weeks. 8 weeks before we play college football. It's rolling right by. Absolutely is. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. I encourage you, Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Just Google it. When you do, their Facebook page will auto-populate. You can look through all the great pictures and see all the fine amenities that are available to you and your guests as you stay at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. If you're bringing a large group or you're contemplating that, let me tell you the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle, Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Doesn't matter if you're coming for a golf event or a baby shower or whatever, bachelorette party, whatever you wanted to do, you can handle it right here at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Maybe it's a family event. Maybe you want to get all your college roommates together and your families. Maybe it's a cousin's event. Plenty of room for everybody to feel comfortable and have a great time. Got the full-service kitchen, got the wet bar, full-service bar there. Also, to that great back porch area. It's a great place to sit and have an adult beverage, watch the sunset, and then maybe go fire up that fire pit, sit around the fire. Conversations around a fire are just more meaningful. I can't explain why that is. It just is. Tucked away just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. A lot of times when you come to town, it's a game day weekend. And you know how it is, as great as those are, they're not exactly the most restful. You're not relaxing. It's good to get away from home. But how cool would it be to come enjoy Starkville and go to all your favorite restaurants and your favorite shops and things not be quite so busy? This summer's a great time to do that. You could probably plan a midweek adventure. Get the girls together. Get the guys together. Just take some time off and just come up here and be together. Now, when you Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, some booking options are going to come up for you. You're going to have Airbnb. You got VRBO. You can decide how you want to handle that. But if you go to the Evolve website, I can save you 10%. That's right. Promo code BSR10, the number 10, BSR10, gets you 10% off your stay. And how great is that? Super cool, man. Absolutely is. So be sure and check in with a Stark Vegas Clubhouse as you plan your next trip to Starkville. And I would encourage you to do that this summer before school gets back. Maybe just get the cousins together. Maybe the sisters can all get together and take turns cooking and get everybody in town and just enjoy being together before things get hectic when school starts. Again, the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. Now, if you hadn't done so, let me encourage you to go to DutyNobleBook.com, pre-order your copies of the Duty Noble biography. And we basically, once we get done this weekend, everything will be, we'll do one final read and we're done, right? And then it goes to typesetting and it'll look through all that stuff. And some big things are in store, you know, so we hope to have this thing out for you guys late August, a couple months, late August, early September. Once we get the actual release date, we'll let you know. I had a lot of people reach out and say, hey, Steve, what's next? I'm like, well, I'm going to enjoy this first, right? And I got some people that have already reached out to me, sent some sample chapters to some people, and a lot of people say, you know, Steve, this is a really, really meaningful book and could win some awards. And so that will be really fun too, right? So we'll see how things go, but a lot of people say, you know what, hey, what's next? What's next? You haven't even read this one, you're already wondering what's next. And that's the thing about life, right? Is we talk about it with recruiting. The only thing better than today's commitment is the next commitment, you know? So again, I'm going to take some time to enjoy the fruits of my labor here, and then I don't know what next year holds. You know, by the time we get through the holiday season, I'll probably need, you know, a week or two off, but next summer, you never know, I may write another one and have it out in time for the holidays next year. You just don't know. You never know. I didn't see this book coming, to be honest with you. And so now here we are. So let's talk about baseball before we get out of here. So the dead period ends today, and it's really the last dead period before we have enrollment. Now, the overwhelming majority of your high school signees are here. Charlie Foster hasn't signed yet. He was a late commitment. Just couldn't get everything together in time to be here with the other guys. He'll be here late this month, early next month. Assuming he didn't get drafted, right? That's a real dude. But, you know, he's a guy, too, that's not, you know, not expected to get drafted high enough to go. And you'll have some guys that have top 10 draft potential that don't get drafted. And we'll have casual fans say, well, they're not any good if they're coming to school. No, it's just they wouldn't agree to terms, so they're coming to school. And you may have some guys drafted late. As I've explained, and then we'll do this as we get closer because we're about 9 days away now. But late in the, like, you don't get to skip your pick, right? Even if you don't have any money to sign anybody left in your bonus pool, if you've already allocated everything, you still have to make a pick. And that happened a couple years ago with Gerangelo. He got picked by the Brewers, and they didn't have a huge bonus pool. And so it kind of made us feel really good. So even though he got drafted, we were very confident he was coming to school because even though he was a draft and follow guy, there wasn't going to be enough funds available. And so there's a lot of that. So there's basically no skip. You got to pick a guy, and more times than not, they'll pick a guy they know that's not going to come to school or sign. And that pretty much gets it over with, right? And so that's something to really watch, you know, because all of a sudden you think we get through the first 10 rounds, you ought to feel good, and you should. But any high school player really drafted in the last 4 or 5 rounds, it's pretty much known that they're going to come to school. But those first 10 picks, you don't get compensated for them if you don't sign your guy. And so anybody that's drafted in the first 10 rounds is going to sign because they've already agreed to terms, which, you know, Dave Marchand's a part of that concern too. You know, we'll see what happens with David. But, you know, so you got, you know, Connor Barth, because he is in California, is going to wait out the draft before they move all the way out here. And then, if he gets drafted and gets some money once, he has an asking price. He's not expected to get that, but you never know. So I understand that, you know. But by and large, yeah, the prep guys are here. And I will do my best to run down and kind of confirm everybody that we can. I'm not going to contact them while they're on campus because that's one of the reasons I worked so hard to get all those stories done in advance of enrollment, is because I don't have to go through media relations when they're a signee. When they're an enrollee, I have to go through media relations. And in media relations, and Chris Simonis is not going to make a true freshman available for a media interview when they haven't even played a game, haven't even attended a class yet. And so that's important to understand. That's why I hustle to get that done, because of the fact those guys are going to be in school. And the JUCO guys and the portal guys will be here in August. And so we still got some work to do in the portal, and probably looking at 2 to 3 more guys. Now, if Dante Norrie, who is an absolute stud, if he elects to come to school, that may change the priorities a little bit. And there's a handful of guys out there that we're on, you know, some guys from SEC guys that we're on that could potentially fill that last bat. But you don't want to be in a situation where you take a guy and then you don't have a spot for him. And so Dante, to be honest with you, Dante has more long-term potential than many of the guys that we're chasing. That's how significant he is. But he's that athletic. This is a guy. You remember how Enrique Bradfield kind of changed the game at Vanderbilt? And Dante's got more power than Enrique did and does. But anything hitting the gaps against Vanderbilt when Bradfield was playing center field was an out. It's the same way with Dante. Anything hit, and I would venture the foot race between those two, you could probably sell tickets for. And so we haven't had a rangy center fielder like that in a long time. Love Jake Mangum to death, but Jake doesn't have the same foot speed as Dante Norrie. This guy could be the fastest guy to ever wear the Mississippi State uniform. That's how significant that is. And if you don't get him, you got to have somebody else that can play center. And there's a handful of guys in contention for that, right? And so that's the next step in this process, figuring out where we're going to be in the draft. And we navigated it well last year. This time last year, we were worried about Mekhi Grant. He ultimately did not sign, came on the summer school, never left, had a great time, and then got injured in the fall. Wasn't overuse. He only threw a couple innings. You know, and he's back, you know, back in recovery now. So the next step for us is navigating through this draft. And it's going to be a three-day process, runs the 14th through the 16th. We'll preview the draft next week, kind of get you apprised of that, kind of what's expected. We'll do that on Monday's show. Just so you guys know, we'll kind of update you as things go along. And, again, there's some other guys out there in the portal that – are just trying to create some leverage, or some guys that are committed to other SEC schools that are going to get drafted from the portal, right? They're committed from the portal. They will get drafted. And so there will be another rush. And then some of those guys too, you know, that happened a couple of years ago. We had Bill Lee coming in from Mercer, and then he got drafted late and signed, and we weren't expecting that. Aaron Nixon didn't get drafted last year and then signed an undrafted free agent deal. And that put, you know, again, that was an issue with us much of the year. We didn't have that true natural closer because you lose Grant to injury, you lose Stone Simmons to injury, and then Aaron Nixon goes in a draft. So that's three of the guys you expected to kind of really compete on the back end, not available, right? And so once we get through the draft and things begin to settle, there will be another wave, right? Not of guys going in the portal, but another of commitments and signings and things of that nature. So could we pick up a commitment this week? Well, we could. We could, because a couple of the guys that we're chasing are not draft eligible. So the draft means nothing to them. It's just a matter of them kind of getting through this process. And again, with no visits through today, things will pick up here in the next few days. We'll have a handful of guys come in next week. And again, some of those guys not draft eligible. So I suspect you'll get a commitment next week. I suspect you'll get one. You could get two, but I suspect you'll get one next week. And then we'll kind of see how the draft plays out. It's crazy to think about that. I mean, it truly is. Like, today's Friday. We're 9 days away from the draft. Is that right? Am I reading my calendar correct? But that's the next big thing, right? So I guess we'll do the draft later in the week next week. Every day runs together. But that's the next big hurdle for us. Because once we get through the draft, now we know who our current team is and what spots we have to fill. We had several when this process began. And now you got six commitments, right? Now you got six commitments. You were expected to take seven or eight. Now it could be eight or nine, kind of depending on who all wants to come. But I think you've got to continue to recruit and think about Dante Norrie. You can't just all of a sudden, oh, well, now Dante is drafted, so now let's go find somebody. You got to work through that now. And maybe you don't push for the commitment now. And maybe that kid's a guy, too, that may be draft eligible. And so that's something to continue to monitor. But got to get a couple more arms. Love what we've got in Jacob Pruitt. There's some other guys out there, too, that we're on that also have the potential to be starters. And a lot of other people out there, a lot of the naysayers say there's nothing left in the portal. There's a lot left in the portal. A lot. And I would say State's probably on about a dozen guys for these last three spots. I'd say that's probably a good assessment. Probably about a dozen guys, and then again, there will be a few more that may pop up if we're interested. We'd like to have this thing handled, you know, here in the next couple of weeks. You know, get through the draft. Let's find out who our portal class is. Get everybody set up to be here for August, and we're good to go. But it's been I'm happy with the class so far. I would love to have had Zach Root, for sure. And yet there's always one or two bats out there you'd think, man, I would love to have had those guys. You know, I think that a couple first basemen out there you'd love to have had. I like Stallman, I do. But a couple guys out there, a little more experience, I guess you could say. For sure. But, yeah, I like the pieces we have. We got to finish. Got to finish. And I said that a week ago, and then we pick up a couple big commitments, you know. And I just share that because of the fact that there is this vacuum. And when there is a lack of information, people tend to try to fill that vacuum with their own projections. They don't have any direct knowledge. It's people that need to talk. That they care, right? They do. They care, and they want Mississippi State to be successful. So it's like, well, you know, I wish I knew what was going on, but let me just see if I can't figure some things out. And so next thing you know, all of a sudden we've got everybody in a tizzy because people think, well, this person must know something, when in fact they don't. It's a person that just follows it really closely, and they're doing the best they can to try to fill that vacuum. And that's why I think it's so important to, again, be patient with this process. I think everybody feels a whole lot better about where we stand today than we did last Friday. I would venture to say that's probably the case with just about everybody. Even the people out there that have been somewhat negative. And I love them too, because we all love the same thing. We all love Mississippi State. We want Mississippi State to win. And there are people that I have disagreements with, but I don't love them any less. And I know that a lot of that frustration comes from a good place. It says, Steve, I just want Mississippi State to be great. I want to win another national championship. You know, I do too. I absolutely do too. And I do my best to kind of be funny with those people on the message boards and try not to take those things personally because, again, I think we all want the same things. We just don't always agree on how to get there. And it's like, hey, we'd love to be able to say we've got the number one portal class in the country, the number one recruiting class in the country, and Mississippi State's going to stack up national championships. We would love to be in that position. But that's not where we are. And the truth of the matter is, we've never really been in that position, you know. And this portal thing is still relatively new. It's evolving. We feel really good about what we have and about what we've kind of got out there on the line. You just got to get them in the boat now. And so I just, again, encourage you to be mindful of that. And Jacob Pruitt's a guy that has kind of made his name around on the message boards and social media for some time. And again, this is a guy, too, that had multiple SEC offers, took multiple SEC visits, and ultimately it boiled down to Vanderbilt, Kentucky, and Mississippi State. Vanderbilt's 4 hours from home for him, and of course, Kentucky's not that far from home either. So he went to the school that geographically was the farthest away because he felt that was the best opportunity for him, not just for this year, but for long term. That's good recruiting. You know, sometimes you have to overcome geography. We talked about that on the last show. You know, you got a lot of kids out there in the portal. When they transfer, they're going home. And this is a young man here that's actually going farther from Yorktown, Indiana. He's going farther away from home, and then he picks the school in his final three that is the farthest away from home to come play. Now, and I think our staff deserves credit for that. It would have been very easy for that young man to say, you know what, Vanderbilt's got multiple national championships. Coach Corbin does a great job here. Be easier for my family to get here, but no, I want to go to Mississippi State. Right? That would have been an easier call. It would have been. And so, again, I think that's Justin Parker and Chris Simonis doing a good job for your baseball program. And so that's kind of how things stand today. Really excited about Ace Reese. I've actually traded some messages with his mom and made sure they had the article, you know, his first public comments. And we've been so blessed that all seven of the summer commitments this year, their first public comments have been published by jeanspage.com. And all seven of those guys, too, have been incredible. And, you know, sent some messages to Ace's mom. And they cannot wait to get down here and be with all of you and be a part of this thing. They took the visit together as a family. They all had a great time. They knew when they left what they wanted to do, but had let the process play out. That's kind of where we are with some other people. We've had some great visits with some players. But they're going to work through this process. They're going to say, you know what, hey, I know that I got Mississippi State. I'm still talking to Mullis and Parker regularly, but I want to get all these things done. Now, for all of us that grew up cheering for Mississippi State, there would be no question to make, right? I mean, there's no question to be asked. You know, it's like, hey, Mississippi State wants me. That's a done deal, right? Well, these people have opportunities that we didn't possess, right? And so they're going to work through it. But the thing that I always love is when these guys go out and they come here, and Mississippi State sets the bar so high they come back and say, you know what, everywhere I went, nothing compared to Mississippi State. And again, that goes to the commitment that Larry Templeton, Scott Strickland, Greg Byrne, John Cohen have made to baseball over the years, and the people that came before them, and the commitment that you have made, you know, financially to make that possible. And everybody goes out there and says, you know what, I went elsewhere and it just wasn't the same. You know, it just wasn't the same. And so it's not like football portal recruiting, what we talked about. Football portal recruiting, if they leave campus, you're just about 90% of the time not going to get them. You know, Jacoby Jackson's one of the rare exceptions. He said, I'm going to take all of my visits and I'll call you on Monday. That's exactly what he did. He picked Mississippi State. A lot of people thought when he left campus, he didn't commit. Oh, it's done. Baseball is a much different dynamic. These guys don't make emotional decisions. They also have more time to work. You know, when you leave your team and you got to think about getting into school in January and get an apartment and get ready for spring practice and off-season conditioning, you just don't have the time. So when you find the right place, you jump on it. Baseball is a little different. You know, you go in the portal. Many of these guys weren't part of the NCAA tournament. They got eliminated in the regional round. We've already crowned the national champion. They've already taken visits. And they still have a couple of weeks to work before there's the urgency to enroll. So these decisions are a lot more methodical, and so fans need to continue to be patient. That's going to do it for today. I hope you guys have a great weekend. Hope you still got some energy left after celebrating my birthday in the 4th on back-to-back days. It's hot out there. Hydrate. Be careful. Look for snakes. I've seen more snake pictures on Facebook this last weekend, last week than I've seen all year. Be careful out there. Digging around in your flower garden, things of that nature. You know, make sure you got something sharp handy or you got some quick reflexes. But again, let's start on the honeydew stuff and be ready to roll. Because, guys, we're playing football next month. We're playing football next month. We'll all be out here and sweat together. But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com today.